I know it's a Bible study, but our Father's given us a little nugget that we should have paid attention to all this week. And that little nugget, you know, I didn't have any thoughts about it. I wasn't thinking about it. But when he said the Passion of Christ, it's been a long time since we watched that. And you know, for me, from then till now, I was unlearning in a lot of areas. And when I watched it this time, it meant so much more to me. Everything that happened, everything, I sat there and I never weep so much in all my life than when I weep when I watch this. And especially when he's standing before all his brothers, I just can't help it. I keep telling myself, there's no way I'm going to speak up. Well, for no. Because he's in front of all his brothers, standing there, the perfect Torah, the one that's given his life so we could all have a life again. Because nobody's coming back. Nobody's going to come back, and he has to do something. And there was something he mentioned in there that really stayed in me and is still in me. He said, I make all things new. I'm going to fix all this chaos, all this gnashing and eating each other up and hatred and hateful, and twisting and mixing the words up. But he's standing there, and that's his brothers there, slapping him, beating him, spitting in his face. And everything within him is just standing there, not saying anything, just listening. And then he speaks the words, and he speaks it with a joy, an excitement of what he has to go through, and his father, and they blaspheme, and they get worse than mad, and beat him, and slap him. You know, we've been told stuff, but we haven't been beaten, and slapped, and spit in the face, and ridiculed, punched, and beat by his own kind, his own people, his people, his people. And then there's another point, he's standing there, and he's thinking, and it shows a scene. Wait, they got the water. He's washing their feet. He's caring for them. He's taking care of them. And then there's Kepha. He said, you know, I'll die for you. All this is going over and over. We've learned already. We're watching it again. And he said, I'll die for you. And I said, you're sure? He said, you're not learned yet. You know, you're not there yet. He knew. He knew. He still got the set apart spirit to come. He's shaking his head. You know. And then Kepha's in that spot, he's in that position. He's afraid, he's scared, he's running, and he's watching. And then he says exactly what he says, and he knows it. And we've been in those places where we knew we should have not, we did, and we knew it, and it happened, and we repent and ask for forgiveness again. But we see every little piece in there of the things that we go through, everything. And it teaches us, and we're learning it, and we see it all alive. And then he's standing there, and every time they say an Aramaic, those words, they're whacking. And they're whacking. That's for each and every one of us, for our sins and our wrong that we committed. The stuff, the chastisement, our iniquity, it was on him. It was on him. And he gave me a chance to live again. A living Torah. And you just see it come to life. And I couldn't help myself, but I watch it again. And again, and even today, I just want to remember. I want to keep it right here. I want to remember it every day. When I get out there, I think it's so tough. Things are going so tough. I got too much. There's too much of a load. Too much of a load. Watch that over and over again to see what's a load. Too much of a load. There's nobody went through what he went through. Nobody. Got his teeth knocked out, beat, spit on, ridiculed, flesh ripped out of him. And then I start thinking, the olive. He's the olive. All these things is coming in my mind from all the Torah portions. He's the olive. He's got to get beat. He's got to get crushed. The oil. It all has to happen. All has to take place. And he's up on the cross. And his mother. He said, I make all things new. I got to finish. I have to finish. And then he came to the point. He got to that point. He He's like, Father, why have you forsaken me? All the way to that point. There's nobody around to help. He's all by himself. And all he has, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to hold him strong. When you're going through a difficult time, think about it. Think about Yeshua. Just another little step. You don't know what's ahead. This week was a little tough for me. I was a little overwhelmed because I had so much work going on. And I had that thought. Call Pastor. Call Scott. No. No. I'm going to listen and do what you tell me to do. Call. No. No, you can't do that. You don't know what the next day is going to bring. So in my mind, the fleshly thoughts, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be long days. And after the long days, you're not going to be able to remember the stuff. It's going to be tough for you to get up there on a Wednesday night. The enemy lies and says, what did he say to Yeshua? He said, lie, die. Lie, die. Never, never, never. You're not going to make it. It's too weighty for you, Yeshua. Lie, die. I'll never forget them words. They're echoing my head. Lie, die. So this week, I said, no, I could do all things for Yeshua. I don't know what the next day is going to bring, so I'm going to hold my stand. And I looked at my schedule, and I made some adjustments in it. I made some adjustments. I still got up early, but I made some adjustments. Things that I was doing that was to need some adjustments. I was going to bed too late, 9, 10 o'clock at night. It's just something I like to talk. I like to spend time with family. So I talked to my wife. She said, you need to go to bed early. So I said, okay, I'm going to discipline myself 2 days, maybe three. So I made sure, and look, I didn't know how the day was going to go. One of those days, we got out there, we caught all our fish by 8 o'clock, and the guys had a good time. Everything good by you. He said, let's go in. I said, well, I got in. I spent my couple of hours of studying and looking over the passion again. Studying. Looking over the passion, weeping and crying every day. Weeping and crying. And then the next day again, and when I went to bed, it was 6 o'clock. I woke up the next morning, I wasn't like this with my eyes all drooping. I felt energized. I said, okay, that's what I need to do. You need to discipline yourself to go to bed. Mm-hmm. So the next night, again, you know, I get in, get all my stuff done, I water the garden, take care of the dogs, come home. Visit my family for a few minutes, do a little study at 6 o'clock, bedtime. Wake up the next morning, 2:30 in the morning, I'm refreshed. I wasn't getting just four hours of sleep. I was getting 8 hours of sleep, 6, 7 hours of sleep. Felt good and refreshed. So you can. The easiest thing to do is pass it on to somebody. Or maybe I could just leave this for another time. Or I could do some. You really got to pray and ask, and you can make those adjustments. You can. You can do all things through Messiah. You just have, and the number one thing you need to listen to, you need to listen to the set apart spirit. The set apart spirit doesn't bring you fear and overwhelmness and anxiety. Hasatan does. It keeps bringing you overwhelmness and telling you, you can't, it's too much, it's their fault, it's this, it's that, constantly. So my wife sent me something today, and I really like this. This little paper, it says, God's voice stills you, leads you, reassures you, enlightens you, encourages you, comforts you, calms you, and convicts you. That's the set apart spirit. The Hasatan's voice rushes you, pushes you, frightens you, confuses you, discourages you, worries you, obsesses you, and condemns you over and over and over. Lie, die, lie, die. I'll never forget that. Lie, die. You're never going to make it. The illness is going to take you away. You'll never be healed. You'll never feel your strength in this and that again. Your family's never coming in. Constant, constant, constant. But what did Yeshua do? He got on his hands and his face. He said, Father, and he's praying. Hasatan, lie, die. Lie, die. That's what I got from that. He's speaking to the Father. He's speaking his word. He stands up. And you know, everybody would like the part where he stomps the snake. But it wasn't just about the snake. He overcame and conquered his lies. His lies and his taunts, you're not going to make it, it's too heavy. That's not what my father says. Father, give me strength in my heart and my mind. I can make it through. This is the way you want me to go. Not my will, but Father, let your will be done. And through the Torah portions, we learn what true love is. He loved us. In what way? Because he obeyed and did everything the Father told him to do. How do we know that we love him? We do what he says. That's what he says. So in our Torah portions, there's 52 Torah portions. We always talked about learning Yah's likes and his dislikes. His character is perfect, pure, and his word is all unchangeable. It is unchangeable. The last Torah portion was clean and unclean. We talked about was clean and unclean. And we've been going through from that Torah portion on, talking about what's clean and what's unclean and what's set apart. We know what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is going in the wrong direction. But now we're learning that Yehovah has a way that he postures himself and the way he represents himself. And you know, it's kind of, it's like in a family, a certain type of family. When you come into his family, there's a certain way he likes us to dress, a certain way he likes us to talk, our speech, the way we act, certain things we can and can't touch. It's just what his rules and what his character is and what we're supposed to abide by. We don't come in his house and tell him we can touch what we want, we can say what we can do it how we want, and we can change your words. You're not going to change his words. His word stands. And throughout the Torah portion, we learn to get the leaven out. Get the leaven out. So we're going to learn the character, put on the right character. There's abstain from the lust of the flesh. And so we watched the Passion, we saw Yeshua, he's the living Torah, and he did it perfectly. His 30 years that he lived, as a child growing up, he did it perfectly. And so we learned just looking at Kepha, we learned looking at those different things, and as we learn all the Torah portions, everybody's in a different room. Everybody's learning different rooms. There's a lot of difficulty in my life because pastor's up here and he's spitting it out like this. And I'm trying to excel myself towards that like there's no possible way. Because I'm not Jesse. I'm not Pastor Jesse at all. And Yehovah has him set up perfectly for us to be ahead of us. He has to be ahead of us. There's no way we can be ahead of our leaders. He's there to be a leader. He's our leader. He's our leader. And I praise Yehovah for setting him up for us to give us that word. That was a very important word to give and say, hey, we need to go look at the Passion of Christ and we'll be speaking on some things. Whether he was ever going to speak on some things on or not, it was important when the set apart spirit said it through him, the messenger, hey, you need to go look at this. So she'll be on it. And I'm so glad I watched it and I'm going to continue to watch it. It's been a great help in my life. And like I said before, I was unlearned when I watched it the first time. And this time when I watch it, I see the Torah come to life. I'm like, I see Yeshua. I understand that. I understand he's the man. He's the Son of God. But I see the Torah. Everything that he did, it was coming against him. Coming against him because it was supposed to be for us. We're the ones supposed to be cut up. We're the ones supposed to be dashed to pieces and thrown away. But he took that for us so he can give us a half shekel. So we get a new life. Now we got to do something with it. Did the Torah come against him and beat him up and tear him up like that for us to do nothing? That doesn't make any sense. We have to go back and look at everything and start doing what he did. You follow me. You do as I do. And it's just what the Father said. When you go back to the beginning, Yahweh said he would raise up one from among our brothers who would fulfill all the Torah perfectly. And that was in Devarim. I couldn't help myself but to go back again and go over these in Devarim 18 through 19. We say this every Shabbat. But this is who Yeshua is. He's the living Torah. And the Father said, I want to give you somebody. And he's going to help you. And he's going to be a visible for you. I shall raise up for them a prophet like you out of the midst of their brother. And I shall put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be the man who does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I'll require it of him.
Yeah.
And before that, Yehovah said in Bereshit 3:15, he said, and I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he shall crush your head, and you shall crush his heel. It was from the beginning. And that's what come to pass. And Yeshua said, I will make all things new. And that's what he's doing, making prayer intercession over us right now. Get ready for that which is to come. And he sends us a set apart spirit. He says, if you would abide in me and abide in love, the Father and I will be with you. If you want to be with us, we'll be with you. But we can't be with you there in physical, but I send you the helper, the set apart spirit. It's just like them to be here with us. Now, if we don't know anything in the Torah, we're not going to know who the set apart spirit is because it has to match what he says. In Daniel 2:44, because he says, I make all things new. In the new age to come, he will rule and reign, everlasting peace and love of the Father, and every word that we read in the Torah. In Daniel 2:44, he says, and in the days of these sovereigns, the Allah, the God of the heavens, shall set up a reign which shall never be destroyed. It shall never be destroyed. I said, I'm going to make things new. A reign that will never be destroyed. That will always have constant shalom and peace. Everlasting peace. Not the peace that the world gives. Not the one that's temporary and so rude, ugly, and evil. But one that reigns with peace and shalom. It says, shall never be destroyed, nor the reign pass on to other people. It crushes and puts an end to all these reigns. And it shall stand forever. So if you don't want to be put away forever, I would jump aboard with Yeshua and start doing what he says. Isaiah 53:1-12. And who has believed our report? And to who is the arm? Yeshua. Who is the arm? Who is Yeshua? He's the right arm of Yehovah. The arm of Yehovah revealed, for he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or splendor that we should look upon him, no appearance that we should desire him. Despised and rejected by men, a man of pain and known sickness, as one from whom the face is hidden, being despised, and we did not consider him. Truly, he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we reckon him smitten and stricken by Elohim and afflicted. But he was pierced. He was bruised. He was pierced and bruised by our transgressions. He didn't do any wrong. He held his part up perfectly. He didn't do any wrong. But yet when Pastor talked about the weight of something that we grieve of going wrong, he bore that as if he did it. And he didn't do it, but yet he bore it like that. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We are like sheep went astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And Yehovah has laid on him the crookedness of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, but he didn't open his mouth. You know, I think about when those rods was whacking him. You know, I've had myself, the other day I was fishing and I got caught in a cage. And I kept pulling on that thing. And it finally came out, it's like an arrow. Pow! And when it hit my leg, I gripped my teeth, I go, ooh, you want to go to get angry at first. Can you imagine Yeshua every time he took a whack? And another whack. And another whack. He didn't get angry. Our flesh wants to get angry. That's something we did ourselves. I did it myself. I go, oh, sure took every one of those. I'm watching him. He's getting whacked. He's getting beat. He's getting whacked until he goes down. And he thinks about everybody. His love towards us. And he stands up again. He takes it again. And again. And again. He said, Father, my heart is ready. Uphold me. And he was strong and held up by the Father. There's many times that we feel like we're weak in a certain area. But if we listen and do what he says, we're strong enough. We got to think about Yeshua. That's what he took it for. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, but he did not open his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And as far as this generation, his generation who considered that he shall be cut off from the land of living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Every one of those Jews, every one of those guys was spitting on him, slapping him in the face the whole time. They had no clue that they was hitting the one that was going to save them from the grave, give them life, that it wouldn't be gone forever. He was appointed a burial site with the wrong, with the rich, at his death because he had done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth. But Yeshua was pleased to crush him. He laid sickness on him. And when he made himself an offering for guilt, doesn't that ring a bell? Did he name guilt offering? Did he name, remember that? How do you know that if you don't read about it? He would see a seed. He would prolong his days and the pleasure of Yehovah prosper in his hand. He would see the result of the suffering of his life and be satisfied. Through his knowledge, I'll say it again, through his knowledge, my righteous servant makes many righteous, and he bears their crookednesses. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great, and he divides the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his being unto death, and he was counted with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. And like I said before, love is not defined by men. If you don't go back and read the Torah, and you just stay in the New Testament, anybody can love anybody in all kind of love, the way men love in a certain kind of way. But you got to go back and read what love is. Love is being obedient to the Father and His commands. That's true love. Love is defined in the sum of Yah's truth. And you know, I'll never forget. You know, Pastor talked about that one time. When Pontius Pilate got there and said, what is truth? It clicked. The sum of your word. In Psalms 119. The sum of your word is truth. The sum, all of your word is truth. Psalm 119. I think it's like verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and all your mishpatim, all your right rulings, all of them are forever. Now, how can you go in the New Testament and say they're over with? It says they are forever. All of your mishpatim, they are forever. And Yeshua would say, if you love me, you do what I say. So in John 14, 21 through 31, Yeshua says, he who possesses my commands and guards them is he who loves me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him. Yehuda, not the one from Corinth, said to him, Master, what has come about that you're about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Yeshua answered him, if anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come to him and make our minnow stay with him. He who does not love me does not guard my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These words I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, He shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember, fear comes from Hasatan. It doesn't come from him. You heard that I said to you, I am going away, and I'm coming to you. If you did love me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. My Father is greater than I. He's going to learn some more and get some more information, and he's going to make an intercession for us to the Father. And when we pray to him, he's going to be our high priest that goes before the Father in everything we're going through, every single day. Redeem the times, the opportunity. Not thinking way ahead. I don't know what's going to happen. That's not for you to think about. Think about today. Why it's today. Don't boast about tomorrow, for today has enough of its own. Slow down. Stop for a minute. Listen to the set apart spirit. And now I have told you before it takes place that when it does take place, you shall believe. You shall believe. So we read the Torah, and we read all the witnesses of where Jehovah said it was going to happen, and it happened. Jehovah says it's going to happen, and it happened. And all the way to where it was going to happen with Yeshua. And now we believe. We believe. And we see all this. And so then now, he says, the set apart spirit is going to teach you all things that's to come. So we believe what he says. And as we go through all the feast days, all the ones that's been accomplished, we want to get to the ones that haven't been accomplished yet. And we believe with all our heart, because we know what's going to happen. It says, and now I have told you before it takes place, that when it does take place, you shall believe. What you think Kepha felt like when after he said, you denied me 3 times. You're not going to fight for me. And all of a sudden it happens. What kind of belief rose up in his heart when he saw that happen? He said it, and it really happened. And then they go to the tomb. There's so much to talk about. It says, I shall no longer talk much with you, for the rule of this world is coming, and he possesses none at all in me. But in order for the world to know that I love the Father, and that as the Father commanded me, so I am doing. Rise up, let us go from here. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 33. It says, become then imitators of Elohim as beloved children, and walk in what? Love. As Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet-smelling fragrance. But whoring and all uncleanness, greed of gain, let it not even be named among you as is proper among set-apart ones. There's the word, set-apart ones. We've got to be set apart. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor malishah and hurrah. We've got to get rid of that. We can't do those kind of things. Nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather thanksgiving. For this you know, that no one who whores, no unclean one, no one greedy of gain. So notice in here, we don't have to just talk about sin, we're talking about clean and uncleanness. And it all starts going together. You start putting the pieces of the puzzle together as we're going through the Torah portions. Because we didn't know. To me, I thought it was all sin. I didn't know there was no separation of the two, or what this was, how you dress, how you do certain things, what you can touch, what you can't touch, what you can eat, what you can't eat. Now to go and be rebellious and break his commands, that's sin. That's an outright sin. It's iniquity. That's another thing I learned this week, was when he said, iniquity is witchcraft. And I always saw witchcraft, but it never did click. Until this past week, it clicked. It's like a spell. Because I've had that happen to me before when I've rebelled in iniquity. You get put in a trance. You can't see. You can't think right. You're under a spell. So when you rebel, it puts you into iniquity. It causes, no matter what subject it could be, it causes a spell. Whenever you're supposed to be studying and practicing and obeying and doing certain things, but yet you're going back and breaking them, going back and breaking them. After a while, you keep breaking them and don't repent. It becomes a spell. You get trapped by it. What is wrong, now you call right. And what is right, you call it wrong. You get put under a spell. It's called witchcraft. Now it makes sense to me. You be careful not to do those things anymore because it becomes a spell to you. You can get trapped in it. And many that are not here anymore have been caught under a spell because they kept playing with something you was told or she was told not to. You get put in iniquity for being rebellious and it becomes a spell. It's a spell. And no matter what you say, what you try to pry them away, it won't leave because they're under a spell. At some point, we keep praying and asking only the Father and only the Spirit. However it's going to happen, when it may happen or may never happen, that's not my part to judge, but keep praying, Father, whatever would happen, have to happen, please pull them out of the spell, or whatever it is. Ask for your forgiveness and keep praying for those individuals. And pray that we don't get caught in it. Because we can easily get trapped in it if we keep rebelling. If we keep rebelling, it's called a spell. It's called witchcraft. And so now I've got that. I understand what it is. And it makes me want to be more careful in where I step and what I say. The shine of our eyes. You know, sometimes we'll just be throughout our day and I'll come home and all of a sudden a certain person will pop up in my head and I'll start speaking to my wife about a certain person. Hey! Are we supposed to be doing that? I'm like, ooh, the shine of the rock. And I repent. I ask the Father to forgive me. And I pray for that person. And I don't want to talk about that anymore. We'll move on to the next subject. And I'm teaching myself not to do that. It's bad. It's bad behavior. It's not fitting for the kingdom. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these, the wrath of Elohim comes upon the sons of disobedience. And remember, in the end, if it stays, it's going to be cut up and burned in the fire. It doesn't belong in his kingdom. When his kingdom comes, all that stuff's going to be done away with. So he's gracing us for a certain amount of time to get it adjusted as we grow from one room to the next. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once in darkness. But now you are light in the Master. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, and righteousness, and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Master. And again, you won't know what's well-pleasing to the Master if you don't go read about it. If we don't go study it and see what it is, just like our Master did. We follow our Master, we got to go do what he did. He studied all the laws. He studied all the prophets. And so, have no fellowship with fruitless works of darkness, but rather convict them. For it is a shame even to speak of what is done by them in secret. But all matters being convicted are manifested by the light. For whatever is manifested is light. That is why he says, wake up, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall shine on you. See then that you walk exactly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, the opportunity, because the days are wicked. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the desire of Yahuwah is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is loose behavior. We should have learned that one with Nadab and Abihu. Because when we're doing things right, and we go drinking a little drink, all of a sudden we're going to make a mistake and do something that you weren't supposed to do. And that's what happened. That was the whole point of that part right there, because they went and did that and they did something that was a bad place, real bad place, because it ended their life like that. It wasn't like, oh, time out. Even when Dawid moved the ark in their own way and their own thoughts, and a man dies, we got to be careful. And so as we learn, we ought to be careful and keep making those adjustments. It means that much to Yahuwah, Yeshua, and to our lives. Which is loose behavior, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to each other in psalms of praise, spiritual songs, singing, striking the strings in your heart to the Master, giving thanks always for all to Elohim, the Father, in the name of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, subjecting yourselves to each other in the fear of Elohim. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Master, because the husband is the head of the wife, as also the Messiah is the head of the assembly. Remember, he doesn't just say one person, he says the assembly. All the assembly, the congregation, and the Savior, the body. But as the assembly is subject to Messiah, so also let the wives be to their own husbands in every respect. Husbands, love your wives as Messiah also did love the assembly and gave himself for it in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing. That's why I read a lot of this to get to that part. Washing of the water by the word in order to present it to himself. And that's what Yeshua has done for us. We've been washed by the water of the word. And he's made an atonement for us. So we're going to half shekel and get a brand new start to start obeying his word so we can live and have a brand new life. Washed in the water and atoned for by his blood. Cleansed by his blood. In order to present it to himself a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of this sort, but that it might be set apart and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but feeds and cherishes it, as also the Master does the assembly. Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So if the husband and wife are supposed to be clean towards one another, the same way with Yeshua, the bridegroom, and the bride is to be clean before the bridegroom. We're supposed to love each other in the same way. It says, for this shall cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This secret is great, but I speak concerning Messiah and the assembly. All this leads you down reading all the way to Messiah and the assembly. However, you too, everyone, let each one love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she fears her husband. So we should respect Yeshua in the same way with husbands and wives in the assembly. Washed in the word and Yeshua's blood atoned for, and we got our clean start. And so we're talking about sin is missing the mark, is an error in the wrong direction, and we also have ritually clean is all the conduct of a people, address, speech, act, a Hebrew born again through Yeshua and follow all his commands in conduct and in deed and all behavior. There's no mixture. Yeshua opened not his mouth when he was beaten and he was flogged. He held his posture. He stayed exactly the Hebrew under Yehovah that he was supposed to be. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 25, almost there. We just, I love the way Brother Scott said, laying our foundation. We already got our foundation, but this is the real foundation tonight. This is Yeshua. Right. If there's any foundation, Yeshua is the foundation of the Torah. Yeah. And for the assembly, this is the foundation. He gave us our life. He gave us a brand new life. And it's all his rules, his order in the house, and this is how we got to live in a clean set of partners. Set of partners is the key word. You know, nice. Back in the day, when we first started coming to church, we was reading our Bibles. It was always holy, 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 holy. I didn't know what kadosh was. I didn't know what set apart was. So even people today, when you talk to them in the Christian realm, a lot of people, when you say holy, the first thing I'm thinking, what I used to think, is just, oh, he's just a pure and holy guy. He's holy. Have no clue what set apartness is. Have no clue about eating clean and unclean things is. Have no idea what kadosh really is. Until you go back and read what it is. You have no idea who the set apart spirit is or what it is until you find out what clean and unclean is. And now we're learning this, what clean and unclean is. Now we can relate to what kadosh, what set apart is. Be set apart, for I am set apart. This is what I'm like. You want to be in this family? This is how you got to conduct yourself. Therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober, Set your expectation perfectly upon the favor that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust in your ignorance, instead as the one who called you is set apart. See it right there, holy, kadosh, set apart. So you also should become set apart in all behavior. Because it has been written, be set apart, for I am set apart. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you are redeemed from your futile behavior inherited from your fathers, not with what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for your sakes, who through him believe in Elohim, who raised him from the dead and gave him esteem, so that your belief and expectation are in Elohim. Now that you have cleansed your lives in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned brotherly love, love one another fervently with a clean heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the living word, being washed in the word of Elohim, which remains forever. Your future life wasn't forever. You were going to die. You're not coming back. It's over. You can live the best life now, all you want to. That's all you're going to get. People's living it every day, their best life now, and have no idea they're being lied to and cheated in their thoughts, twisted Christianity, whatever may be presented, without knowing the truth. Until you know the truth, you're stuck in a hole. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the living word of Elohim, which remains forever, because all flesh, without him, we're like the flesh, like grass. And all the esteem of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of Elohim remains forever. And this is the word announced as good news to you. In Leviticus 19:2, we got a couple of Vayakras here. Vayakra 19:2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, be ye set apart, for I am Havaya Elohim and set apart. So where did he get that from? Where in the New Testament? Where did he get it from? He got it from Vayakra 19:2. Be ye set apart, for I am set apart. Vayakra 11:44. I am Yehovah Elohim, and you shall set yourselves apart, and you shall be set apart, for I am set apart. Do not defile yourselves with any swarming creature, the one creeping on the earth. I'm learning some things about this right now. And I want to say something, but I can't. Just put it this much. I'm learning still. There's some things I'm learning. There's some things in the past that I was like, what? And then after a while, you're like, oh, I see. And then you learn and you grow. From faith to faith, you grow. Everybody grows. Don't put somebody else down because there's some stuff behind me that I still got to grow and learn in. We're going to learn. We're going to help one another. We're going to grow. But don't get mad and quit. The enemy wants you to quit. That's what Hasatan was trying to do to Yeshua. He kept lying down. He kept throwing. He wants him to quit. He doesn't want him to finish. And if Yeshua would have quit, we'd all be done for. But he made it. And he wants us to do the same thing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Things might be fuzzy. It might be hard. Maybe an illness. Maybe things you're not understanding the word. Hang in there. Brother Scott says it every time he speaks. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Right. Maybe we're the only church that's speaking this and teaching this. Don't quit. Don't give up. I got looked at pretty funny today. I waved at a brother today. That's what he did at me. And so I went, what am I supposed to do? They said it wasn't Yeshua getting spit on and beat on. It was just a nod. That's all it was. I keep praying. Father, I still got hope. I still got hope. And I'm going to keep praying and asking the Father. I still got hope. It ain't over. I ain't giving up. Don't give up. Don't listen to lies. Speak what the Father speaks. He's about life. He didn't give up on us. He didn't throw us away. Viacra 27. And you shall set yourselves apart and shall be set apart, for I am Yehovah, your Elohim. We go through each Torah portion, and it teaches us how to be set apart. And we look unto Yeshua, who did it perfectly. There are easy days, and there's going to be tough days. That's just how it is. But he even gives us a set apart spirit to help us. What more can he give but for us to do what he says? Not only does he give us a set apart spirit, he gave us everything to look at with Yeshua as he made it through. And so can we. We're getting close. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. I would encourage everybody to go look at it again. And look, I know someone here, I'm going to tell you right now. You can't read the words on the screen. I found one on there yesterday that I watched yesterday and today. It doesn't have the words. It was the only one I could find, but I remember my scripture by watching it over and over again. And on the scriptures, when he's speaking in Hebrew or Aramaic, I remember the words. And some of the Hebrew words from us being through so many times, I already know what he's saying. And they say, Yeshua. Yeshua. I know what he's saying. Yeshua. I know what he's saying. So after a while, you can just watch without the words. You're watching it, and you're just going through it. But late in the Sabbath, as it was dawning into day one of the week, Miriam from Magdala and the other Miriam came to see the tomb. You see, there was a great earthquake, for a messenger of Yehovah. When you're reading this slow, you're just thinking, there was an earthquake. And a man like lightning, a figure just comes down. You know, you're just thinking of these things. How it happened. And rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Sat on it. He's sitting there. And his appearance was like lightning. His garments as white as snow. And the guards trembled for fear of him and became like dead men. And the messenger responded, saying to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Yeshua, who was impaled. He's not here, for he was raised, as he said. Come see the place where the master lay, and go quickly. Say to his taught ones that he was raised from the dead, and see, he is going before you to Galilee. There you shall see him. See, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report this great to his taught ones. Taught ones. The taught ones. And as they were going to report to his taught ones, see, Yeshua met them saying, greetings. And they came and held him by the feet and did bow to him. And Yeshua said to them, do not be afraid. Go report to my brothers to go to Galilee, and they shall see me there. And while they were going, see, some of the watch, having gone into the city, reported to the chief priests all that took place. And when they had come together with the elders and taken counsel, they gave enough silver to the soldiers, saying, say that his taught ones came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this should be reported to the governor, we shall win him over and keep you out of trouble. And having taken the silver, they did as they were instructed, and this account was widely spread among the Yehudim to this day. And the 11 taught ones went away into Galilee to the mountain which Yeshua had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they bowed down to him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven. He's got all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations. Now get this. Immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and in the set-apart spirit. How will you know anything about the set-apart spirit if you don't know the teachings of Yeshua? When he told them, Teach in the name of the Father and the Son and the set apart Spirit. Many people saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever, they have no clue what the set apart Spirit is at all. We're just learning what the set apart Spirit is. We've been studying the Torah and finding out what the set apart Spirit is and how to relate when he's speaking and what he says and what he's like compared to what Hasatan sounds like. Teaching them to guard all that I have commanded you. And see, I am with you always until the end of the age. End of the age. There's an age that's going to end and there's a new one that's going to begin. And so that's what we're looking forward to. And I believe him with all my heart. What he's saying is true. And that's why I'm doing the best that I can to work on my life in obedience, to be clean and to conduct myself in the way I'm supposed to on a daily basis. So a little review, we're still in Vayikra. You know, I went back and looked in Vayikra, and now that we're studying certain things now, there's a lot of things I forgot. I'm like, oh my, this happened, that happened, this, there were so many things I already forgot that happened. So I'm like, this is why you gotta go through each Torah portion, 52 of them all throughout the year. We start back from the beginning again, back in Bereshit. We're gonna forget some things. And when it brings it to our remembrance, then we get to grow some more. So each week, each Torah portion, we gotta go through them. I forgot about, Pastor was up here and he says, the Ola offering. I'm like, oh, I forgot the Ola offering. So I gotta go back again, gotta go look over it again. I'm like, oh, Ola offering. The animals and clean and unclean. And so we're in Torah portion number 27, Tazria, Hebrew for she conceives. And you know, she conceives in Tazria. You know, think about that. A life is being born. A life. Life is coming to pass, coming to birth. And it's Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, verse 59. Mahav Torah, 2 Kings, chapter 7, 3 through 20. It's a good half Torah to read. And we're going to start in slide chapter, or number 10. Not chapter. Slide 10. I'm on the right slide. It's this week's Torah portion. Tazria. Which means she bears seed, or she is. Means she bears seed, or she is with seed. And this word comes from the root word, Terah. Strong's H2232, which means to sow or scatter seed, conceive. Or give birth, offspring. And by across chapter 12, giving birth is an incredible time of a child being born. It's a life. It's not unclean, but the blood from sinful nature giving birth makes her unclean. And we talked about those things. And before all this takes place, we talked about the Nidah. During a woman's cleansing time, her cycle, she is unclean. We talked about the boy was seven days, and it's 33, and 33 and 7 was 40, remember that? The girl was 14, 66, 66 and 14 is 80. And we said this, don't ask me why. Just don't ask me why. We don't know why, but it's just what it is. Now we went through Vayikra chapter 13, and slide, we go to slide 4. And we talked about leprosy. Now everywhere you look in the Torah, you see in the bright eye shine, where you see leprosy, you put Zara'at there. Zara'at, it's about the skin. It says Zara'at, often mistranslated as leprosy, as a supernatural plague, which can afflict people as well as garments or homes. If white or pink patches appear on a person's skin, dark pink or dark green in garments or homes, a cold is summoned, judging by various signs such as an increase in size of the afflicted area after a 7-day quarantine, the cold pronounces et tameh, impure, a tahor, pure. And so now we're going to move on to 79. Slide 79, which is chapter 13. The Torah of the infection of leprosy, the Hebrew word that is translated as leprosy, a leprous infection, was zara'at. Zara'at, Strong's H6883, is a malignant skin disease in people in clothing or buildings, mildew or mold. So we learn it's not leprosy, but we call it zara'at every time we see it in Scripture. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Because remember, this is Yehovah's temple. This is his temple. We're supposed to keep his temple clean. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Each one's work shall be revealed, for the day shall show it up, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire shall prove the work of each one, what sort it is. If anyone's work remains, which he has built on, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. But so as through fire, do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim, and that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him, for the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which you are. So that's what we're learning about clean. And if we touch something that's unclean, we have till evening, we're unclean till evening, to be cleansed from that and start a new day. So we want to try and learn to do our best to stay clean. Because this is the temple of Yehovah. We conduct ourselves right, he stays with us, we stay with him. We don't conduct ourselves right, he doesn't stay. His Spirit won't reside with us if we don't reside with him. We keep breaking his commands and doing what he dislikes, he doesn't stay. But we repent, we turn from our way, teshuva, and get back on the right track, and we repent of the unclean things we have to evening, and we're clean, and we're keeping our, this temple clean. The slide 90 through 93. Having been set from sin, set free from sin and destruction, we're to make sure that we stay clean as we walk in Messiah and guard to do all he commands. And we're therefore able to learn from this chapter on the Torah, Azarat, that we're to come out and touch not that which is unclean. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 52:11, it says, turn aside, turn aside. Come out from there, touch not the unclean. We gotta pay attention. There's two different things between sin and what's clean and unclean, ritualistically clean or unclean. Come out of her midst. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yehovah. The root word for naga, Strong's H5060, is translated here as touch. And the Greek word used in the Septuagint is hapnami. Hapnamahi, which means touch, fasten oneself to, or clean, and is used to describe the practice of having no fellowship with pagan practices. As we see the clear command given, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says Jehovah, and do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. The temple of the living God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Yeah, it's up there. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. There is a clear distinction between those who are unsaved, who are not born again, and those who are born again. There's no such thing as getting saved and born again and staying in the same state of that you just came out of to not have any changes. Because when we start with Abraham, he called him out from out of all the paganism to be set apart, to become a Hebrew. All the way to Yishak and Yaakov, all the way to Moshe, Yosef, and Yehoshua, Yehoshua, Joshua. And what agreement has Messiah, it says, and what fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Messiah with Belial? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And that's why, like Pastor said, it takes some time when you're on milk, when you're a newborn believer, a born-again believer. You got friends and people you hang around with that's just total darkness. You're kidding yourself if you think you're going to be able to abstain if you keep hanging around with them. You're going to end up back in the same spot. You got to discipline yourself to stay away. I know it might not feel good. I lost a lot of friends, but I knew what I had to do to get myself to break away from darkness and start living in the light, to become a born-again Hebrew, to become an Israelite, Yeshua HaMashiach, to dress myself accordingly like he dresses. If you keep hanging around those things, because look, I'm seasoned. I'm not being prideful, but I'm well seasoned in a lot of areas. And when I'm on a boat charter fishing, I'm telling you, it's a long day being around a lot of darkness. And if you're not worded up, if you're not practicing Shabbat, and at least some things on Wednesday or Friday, listening to something if you're not here, you can easily give in and have a fudge. You can have a fudge. You can start acting and talking just like those on the boat with you, or laugh to a dirty comment or a joke. It doesn't take much because you're surrounded in it. You got to abstain from those things so you're strong enough to stand when you're around those things so that your light shines and they see that you don't smirk. And like the guy on the boat today, not much was said, but I forgot, I had my coffee cup. Thank you, Sister Hillary, Brother Rob. This got your box along on the Hebrew letters, and it's sitting there. It's my coffee cup. I take it every day. I don't even look at it no more. It's my coffee cup. The guy on the boat was like, hey, that's a Hebrew? I said, yeah, that's a Hebrew cup. I'm like, man, I forgot I had that on the boat. And so I just conduct myself right all day, had fellowship with the guy, fished, never said nothing. I said, Father, if you open the door, you open it. But a week ago, I had some serious conversations with a guy, with this doctor, and he had so much questions. He said, everything you've said is correct. Can I text you? Can I message you? I got a lot of questions because what you're saying is correct. Because when we were on the boat for 2 days, one day it was just him and I. He had so many questions, and they was coming out. And I just thank you, Father, for your set apart spirit reminding me. And it was just coming out. I was able to share so many different subjects. One of the main subjects was, he's like, do you believe when somebody dies, they really just automatically go to heaven? I got questions about that. Just things just don't jive. So if you go back to the beginning of your Bible, when the Father, God, I call his name Yehovah. I studied, you can do your research, but that's, he took dust and he formed a man and he animated him with his ruach. He breathed his breath into him. I said, so every person that's ever lived, if you go read the scriptures, it talks about a person is in a grave. They're in Sheol. They're sleeping. They're asleep. I said, you go to the account where it talks about Lazarus. When Yeshua went to the grave, and he saw him on the sky, he went to the grave, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came alive. He says, in the end, he says, the dead in Christ will arise at his coming. And he goes, now that makes a lot of sense. I said, all we got to do is go back to the beginning of our Bible and just read. He goes, man, that makes a lot of sense. He says, for all my life, I just could not put those things together. It just didn't make any sense. And so we're taught that. There's people, there might be 1 out of 100. You're going to get them. It's going to come. And they're going to question you. And you got to be prepared and ready. That's why we're going through these four portions. That's why we're learning. That's why we're living it on a daily basis. So when the questions come, you're going to know what to answer. you're not gonna say, but you may have something you can't answer. She's like, you know, I don't know that one yet, but I'll get back to you on it. Maybe you don't know the answer, but you can get back to him. What agreement has Messiah with Belial? What part does a believer have with a non-believer? 2 Corinthians 6:16. But what union has a dwelling place of Elohim with idols? For you are a dwelling place of the living Elohim, as Elohim has said, I shall dwell in them and walk among them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And that's in Biakra, chapter 26, verse 12, a footnote in Exodus 29, 45, and Biakra, Leviticus 26, 12, Jeremiah 31, 1, and Hezekiel 37, 27. There's so many scriptures that we can go back and look at. Take the time to discipline ourselves and sit down and go through all these different scriptures and read them. And it all comes to life in your life. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Jehovah, and do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. Isaiah 52. So how do we know what we can and can't touch if we don't, if we do away with those orders for the set apart vessel of the temple of Elohim? If we do away with that, we don't know what's clean and unclean. We can't be set apart. Slide 94 talks about being a father to us. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says Jehovah, as a family. This is how the family functions. This is how we dress. This is how we talk. This is what we touch. This is what we don't touch. It's just what it is. This is how we conduct ourselves. You know, before we went to Florida a couple of years ago, to Key West, we go online and we're looking for different restaurants. And we're looking at this one, it's a 5-star, this and that. We're looking at the reviews. Oh, wow, that's good, that's good. Let's look at the prices. Ooh, they high up there. Before you go in there, there's a dress code. You don't go in there with holes in your jeans or shorts or a little tank top. You go in there, maybe dress, suit, tie. You look like an idiot walking in there. They got people in suits and all. You see, you walking by and coming in with your shorts. There's a dress code. And Yehovah, the kingdom of Yehovah, is a dress code. It's simple. It's not hard. So in order to walk in there and he say, I know you because you dress with the dress code. Clean or unclean. Acting like this or not acting like that. And he says, I don't know you. You got this filth on you and it's a stench to my nostrils. Well, Dad, did we do this in your name? Did we do that? No, we had a church decked out with this and with that and we did... I'm not going to go there. But that's what he's going to say. I don't know you. Depart from you, workers of iniquity. Throw them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a respectable dress code and a way to represent Yehovah. And you know, he says, in my name. In my name. So there's things that I made mistakes with this week. And I'm reminded of that. And I said, Father, I acted like that and I got aggravated on the boat today with something. I represented your name wrong, bad. Because I'm representing him, his name. You're like, that's my name you just represented. That was disrespectful. You know what I mean? This wasn't outwardly to anybody. It was to myself. I'm cruising, had a long day, and I'm held up all day, and all of a sudden, the guy picks his head up and the hat flies off. I'm like, oh, here we go again. And I turn the boat around, but my conduct is not too good right now because I'm aggravated because I got to turn around and go get this guy's hat. So I turn around, get the net, pick up the hat, and he goes, man, I didn't know you was going to do that. Thank you. You're going to get a good tip for that. I told him I did it wrong in my heart. He's going to give me a tip. When I got in, he said, man, let me tell you something, son. He says, that's an old hat. I hate that hat. I didn't want that hat. But since you did such a good job turning around picking up that hat, I'm giving you a tip. I'm like, Father, I'm representing your name long in my heart. That guy didn't even sure y'all don't do things like that, huh?
Yeah,
right. Oh, I gotta go water the garden again. Hallelujah. I'm getting it. I have so much joy in Yehovah, learning and growing. There's a respectable dress code and a way to represent Yehovah, his name, in his presence, and wherever we are led to go. Things you can touch and things you can't touch. In his house, you don't act like that, you don't talk like that, you don't dress like that, and you don't touch that. You represent him and set apart. In slide 95, the Greek word translated as not is me, Strong's G3361, which is a primary participle of a qualified negation, meaning not, no, neither, or none. The reason I'm highlighting these words and its uses in various verses is to simply point out the wonderful work that our Master and Redeemer has done for us as he was stricken. He was beaten for our transgressions. And you see, we got to see all of that this week. If we did that, and if you didn't, go do that. Then you go through your Torah portion, you come across slides like this, and it lines up what he's talking about. As he was stricken for our transgressions, cleansing us from that which defiles, and now we are to make sure we do not touch that which does not pertain to complete set of partners. Naga, Psalms H5060, is a primitive root proper to touch, that is to lay a hand upon. And it also is to strike or to beat. Draw near, to join, play, smite, strike, and touch. That word touch. You know, I was thinking about when I was reading this, I was thinking about fruit again. If you got one rotten fruit in a bag, the good fruit doesn't make the bad fruit good. The bad fruit makes the good fruit bad. That's why he says, get all the leaven out. It makes it all rotten, the whole thing. Once all rotten fruit touching good fruit turns, the good fruit rotten. So just a little bit of unclean thing can turn the whole thing unclean. Just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Slide 98. Hidden sin not dealt with can be exposed in the outward. It says, the beginning, a scab or a bright spot. In Isaiah 3:16-17, and Yehovah says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and seductive eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet, therefore Yehovah shall smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Yehovah expose their nakedness. There's things that you can hide, and after a while they can get exposed on the outside. It says in verse 7, advancement, scab spreads all over the skin. Can be used as a spiritual significance. In Yeshayahu Isaiah 1:5-6, why should you be beaten anymore? You continue in apostasy. All the head is sick. All the heart faints. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and open sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Verse 10, full outburst, raw flesh and swelling. A picture of hatred setting in. They hated the one who reproves in the gate, and they despised the one who speaks the truth. Inflamed state. Burns, burning. Be consumed with his love and respond with obedience and joy, or stay in a disobedient state and be consumed in his wrath. There's two sides. There's none in between. And it shall be, in Isaiah 3:24, instead of sweet fragrance, a smell of decay. It's decay. The stuff you stuck in before you got born again is decay. You're dying. You're not going to make it back. Instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a festal robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of loveliness. In 102, Inflammations can picture for us certain mind games through slander or gossip, which can certainly contaminate us and cause us to become unclean and defiled. Lashon hara, forbidden speech, generally refers to slander, talking evil of someone, and is regarded as being as bad as murder. Burns cause inflamed flesh, and so we see this as a picture of anger, which can often cause one's face to become red and inflamed with rage. And I picked up on Numbers. We'll go to Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. And this was the first one to come to mind when we got into this. We got this Lashon Hara. I didn't have to read anything in this Torah portion. I just automatically remembered it from what happened to Miriam. Miriam and Haran spoke against Moshe because of the Cushite woman whom he had taken, for he had taken a Cushite woman, and they said, "Has Yehovah spoken only through Moshe? Has he not also spoken through us?" And Yehovah heard it, and the man Moshe was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly Yehovah said to Moshe and Aharon and Miriam, "You three come out to the tent of appointment." So the three came out, and Yehovah came down to the column of cloud and stood in the door of the tent and called Aharon and Miriam. And they both went forward, and he said, "Hear now my words. If your prophet is of Yehovah, I make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moshe. He is trustworthy in all my house. I speak with him mouth to mouth and plainly, and not in riddles." Now he's letting them know, I love Moshe in all the house. I respect him for all he does before me. Moshe is serious before my eyes, he said. So he said, "I speak with him mouth to mouth and plainly, not in riddles. And he sees the form of Yehovah. So why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? And the displeasure of Yehovah burned against them. You, when you spoke like that, you spoke against Moshe, you spoke against me when you did that. And the displeasure of Yehovah burned against them, and he left, and the cloud turned away from above the tent, and look, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aharon turned towards Miriam, and look, we'll put that word there, Zahara. Zahara. And Aharon said to Moshe, "Oh, my master, please do not hold against us the sin in which we have done, foolishly in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead when coming out of his mother's womb with his flesh half consumed." And Moshe cried out to Yehovah, saying, "Oh, El, please heal her, please." And Yehovah said to Moshe, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days?" And Brother Scott brought to my attention, I was reminded, when you go to Brit Hani Shop, it talks about when Yeshua got on the ground and he got the dirt and spit on it and put it in a guy's eye. Remember that? You can refer to all of those when you're reading in the Brit Hani Shop. It refers you back to places like this in the Torah. And Miriam was shut out. It says, "Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be readmitted." And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. And the people did not set out until Miriam was readmitted. And afterwards, the people departed from Aseroth, and they camped in the wilderness of Paran. And so when she got put outside the camp, it brought me to a scripture in Luke chapter 13, verses 25 to 28. I'm out of time. There was a couple more slides I wanted to go to, but I'm just going to read this last verse of scripture. In Luke chapter 13, 25 to 28. And this goes along with slides 114 to 118, which you can't get to tonight. It says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Master, Master, open for us,' and he shall answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you shall begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he shall say, 'I say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness.' There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov and all the prophets in the reign of Elohim, and yourselves thrown outside." So there's a place inside the camp, and there's a place outside the camp. So I just praise you, Jehovah, and I thank you for having mercy on us all these years and bringing us the true word of Elohim through Yeshua and the set-apart spirit being with us every day through each and every detail of these 12 portions. And I thank you and I love you for being out tonight and being with me and I with you with all our congregation here and with all of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Yehuda all over the earth. I just praise Jehovah and I thank you every day, asking that His Spirit would just draw all of us to our head, Yeshua, until the end of the age.